Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 118 of HER, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. We have quite a podcast ahead of us today because we're going to be talking about how to finally end female genital mutilation. Before we begin this very, very profound episode, I want you to know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after the episode, because we want to read your podcast review and rating. That's right. I read these things and I love your feedback. I so welcome it. So please do that. All right. It's time for HER.
HER, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life.
It's all about HER.
You know, I was reading in the newspapers fairly recently about a case in Michigan where young women were being brought in, a sort of a hidden trafficking of young women to a clinic somewhere around Detroit or so. And it there they underwent female genital mutilation. And I was just so shocked. I just sat there for a moment and sucked in my breath thinking, I can't believe this is happening. I mean, I've read about it in other countries, of course, and I'm horrified. But the fact that people are allowing this in this country just absolutely blew my mind. And so we've reached out to literally the go-to expert nationally on this subject, and that is Liz Yohr. And she's head of a new initiative, and it's called End Female Genital Mutilation Today, or End FGM Today. Now, she has spent 30 years in legal child advocacy. She now serves as the head of the new initiative, End FGM Today, as I mentioned. And she previously served as special counsel at HARPO as Oprah Winfrey's child advocate. She was also general counsel at the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services for 8 years and the general counsel at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Liz, welcome to the HER podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Pam. I'm delighted to be with you today.
Oh, God. You know, I am just, I still can't believe any of this stuff goes on. I'm sorry, but when I read about the horrific acts that are taking place, tell me about the organization and tell me about your involvement in it and where this is going.
Well, my involvement came actually, I heard many, many years ago when I was doing international child abductions about FGM happening overseas in other countries like Egypt. And of course, Dr. Pam, I could not imagine that this hideous, barbaric, ancient practice done on little girls would ever be imported to the United States. And so when I, you know, started reading about, and I've seen everything. You can imagine, I've seen every imaginable case on child abuse, stories about child abuse. But this, I have to say, FGM is right up there in the most horrendous, hideous practice. And as a result, the End FGM Today project and initiative is to really urge states to criminalize FGM. It's only a crime in states of about 25 states, 26 states now. And so we have another 24 states to criminalize it. It has been a federal crime since 1996. But, you know, that case that you just mentioned in Michigan, that was the first federal case in 21 years since it became a crime.
So, oh, my God.
I know. And so it is, in fact, an underground network that has been very, very difficult to expose and find out anything about. But as a result of the Michigan case, of course, we're learning a great deal about FGM in the United States.
I mean, it just blows my mind. It looks like the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, now has a FGM hotline.
They do.
And do you think that's going to be helping?
I do think it's helping. You know, as we know in human trafficking, these underground crimes are very difficult to pierce, to get through. And so we rely in law enforcement on the public to help us to solve crime. So I think the hotline is going to make a big difference. But I my own belief, Dr. Pam, is that this is going to be a very difficult slog because there is, quite frankly, a parallel society operating that does not allow eyes and ears of the general public to hear and learn about this practice. And as a result, this is mothers taking their little 5, 6, 7-year-old girl across state lines to a doctor or a mutilator to have them female genital mutilation occur. And so it's been very difficult to have victims come forward because oftentimes they're threatened with their life. And because the victims are so young, it takes, you know, decades oftentimes for victims to have the courage to step forward. Not unlike, as you know, child abuse cases. But this is even more with societal pressure and family pressure to remain silent.
And there's a whole cultural overlay. You know, I was looking at some numbers, and you had stated in a publication that the Centers for Disease Control estimates that over 500,000 women and girls in the United States are at risk for this brutal procedure, and the number of potential FGM victims is really, really underreported for the obvious reasons. You know, despite the fact that the World Health Organization, United Nations, has declared FGM a violation of human rights, more than 100 million women and girls are subjected to this torture around the world. I mean, I have to kind of like sit with that for a second because it just blows my mind. It really does.
You know, it's shocking. And the fact that it's come to our shores and we have had such difficulty in exposing it, in holding accountable the people that are involved in it. And because it's this cultural piece that has been in many cultures for thousands of years. And so it's important to get the message out that, number one, it's a crime, a federal crime. And number two, it is something that, you know, for example, child abuse organizations like the ones that I worked for, the child welfare system, consider this to be torture, consider this to be sexual abuse of the, you know, highest order. And in the case of the Michigan mothers who took their children across, their little girls across state lines, they have been criminally charged, Dr. Pam. So they are going to be facing, if they're convicted, jail time. And so I think this sends a very long, hard message to the public, to cultures that are practicing that, that there are consequences, criminal consequences, if they do this to their children. But the key is, the difficulty is getting the reporting mechanism in place, getting people to open their eyes and ears, getting, for example, doctors in emergency rooms, right? Pediatricians. What we're finding out is that there is a parallel medical practice so that these little girls, if they're sick, they go to pediatricians within their own particular cult or religion so that an examination of their genitals would not trigger a report to the child welfare agency. There is just a conspiracy of silence among the members, for example, in the Dawoodi Bora Shia Muslim cult, there's a conspiracy of silence. So it's very difficult for us as we advocate on behalf of protecting little girls from this hideous procedure. And Dr. Pam, this literally takes the girl's sexual desire away for life. And some of the procedures that are done, there are about four different types, as you can see on the website from the World Health Organization. Some of these procedures, the worst, is literally sew these little girls up. So it is, we know that there are lifetime physical and emotional consequences. I've talked to victims myself who are in their 50s who continue to have nightmares about the procedure that was done on them. And so it's number one in End FGM today. We're trying to educate the public, do a massive public education awareness campaign, and two, really provide assistance to various state legislatures to encourage them to criminalize FGM under state law. Because, you know, the feds, they have terrorism, they have bank robberies, they have, you know, violent crime. There are far more local state's attorneys and district attorneys who need to prosecute these cases. That's why state law is so important, state criminal law. And it's slow going. I might add, though, in Michigan, the moment this indictment came down, the legislature moved very quickly to criminalize it. And within 2 months, they had signed in into law a Michigan anti-FGM law and a big package of laws that make it very, very tough penalties and criminalize it in the behavior both of the parents and of the mutilator.
Wow. Well, you know, I think another issue that crops up is that, and this was brought up in a CNN piece on female genital mutilation, and that is the practice of FGM, right, has more than, get this, tripled in the United States since 1990. So I think a lot of problem is the fact that it's just awareness. You know, what is that about? Women need to be, I mean, everyone out there, male, female, professionals, all of us need to be exceptionally aware of what's going on here. And if they do find, let's just say it's a physician who's examining a child or a teenager, and there they are in the exam room, and you note that it's clear that maybe some issues involve FGM, maybe someone's having urinary tract infections or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What do they do? Tell us what they do.
What
you're
they
the
should
legal
do?
Counsel.
Yes.
What do they do?
What they should do is they should immediately call the state child welfare hotline. All doctors know what the hotline number is. It's often posted in pediatrician's office to report that their patient appears to have been a victim of female genital mutilation. They can call the local police department or the FBI hotline. And but this, you know, this is how we protect children and save children and rescue children from abuse and neglect. I mean, you know, you're a doctor yourself. You've been in the health field. You know that intervening in children's lives, whether it's abuse, whether it's neglect, that our culture says that at a certain point, children need to be protected if they're being victimized by their parents, if they're being victimized by the neighbor, by a teacher. The state has a compelling interest to intervene in the lives of children who are being abused and neglected and rescue them. I mean, that's why we spend billions of dollars in the United States on a foster care system, on a child welfare, child abuse system to protect kids, because in America, children are a protected party that is not allowed to be abused and neglected by parents, by anyone. And so this is the same type of thing. Now, I might add that there is a certain amount of, you know, cultural concern that they don't want to intervene, that this is a quote-unquote a religious practice, right? So we don't want to say anything. But you know, you remember Jim Jones and Warren Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
And all the quote-unquote religious cult leaders who, as a part of their religious practice, would abuse children. And we as a society wouldn't say, oh, well, we're not going to talk about that. We won't intervene because, after all, he's a cult leader. He's a religious leader. He's saying this is a tenet of his religion. No, we immediately condemned it. Law enforcement looked into it, investigated, arrested these guys. I mean, there's a long list of, you know, religious leaders who, in the name of religion, sexually abuse or physically abuse children. And so that's how we need to approach FGM. and not be so hands off. Oh, this is a, you know, Muslim practice or an ancient Christian practice or an ancient African practice. So we cannot interfere. We have to be culturally sensitive. That's why, quite frankly, Dr. Pam, it has grown exponentially in the United States. Because I'm sure that people, you know, in the health profession, and I know people in the health profession, have come up against it and have refused to get involved. For fear, oh, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to, you know, appear to
Well,
be.
I think that, well, you know, I've talked to colleagues about this. You know, in about 5 seconds, we would know exactly what to do with child abuse, per se.
Yeah,
so
right.
Some kid comes in, broken ribs, you know, broken arm, you know, black eye, you know, whatever the situation may be. I mean, you know, if it takes me 3 nanoseconds, I've got the police in there, I've got, you know, the child protection services in there, and those whoever the perpetrator is, honey, you know, they're buying some time behind bars, and we're done. Okay, we have
right,
an algorithm, but when it comes to something like this, I think that part of it is just that I think a lot of providers, quite frankly, haven't known what to do. Like, where do you go? How do you say this? Are we going to get in trouble if we're stumbling on someone's, as it were, religious practices? There's no religious practice that says you beat the hell out of a kid, leave him with a fat lip and broken ribs. Okay, fine. We get that part. But when it comes to this, under the umbrella of, you know, this is a religious practice, you know, don't mess with us, then I think a lot of people just honestly do not know the law and need to know more about that. Would they learn that if they go to your website, endfmgtoday.com?
Yes, they would. And you know what? We in child welfare describe this procedure. I'll give you 2 words. We would, if we examined a child who had been mutilated, 2 things. We would call it torture, and we would call it sexual assault or sexual penetration with a foreign object. So, I mean, that is the hard, cruel reality of this procedure. And while I certainly understand that people, you know, don't want to get involved, we're talking about saving children's lives, intervening, stopping this practice. And, you know, it's interesting. The international press is covering this Michigan case very closely. It's an Indian Shia Muslim sect. So the India Times is covering every single court hearing, what's going on, reporting that the parents were charged. That sends an important message overseas before people come to the United States that this practice is criminalized under our rule of law, under our statute, and it takes some understanding of precisely what the practice is. You know, the World Health Organization and the UN has been familiar with this practice for decades, whereas we in the United States are just beginning to know how rampant it is and how, you know, undercover, underground, concealed this hidden trafficking network, as I call it, of FGM. I mean, they're literally crossing state lines, these mothers, to find mutilators who will mutilate their little girl. This isn't, Dr. Pam, a nick. This isn't, you know, a mere scraping, like, you know, the defense has said. This is, you know, a cutting out, a slicing, a mutilation of the genitals. So it's, you know, and obviously it's a very, you know, sensitive issue to talk about. But I mean, we've come far in our country, haven't we? I mean, we talk about sexual abuse, sexual exploitation of children. Look at, you know, what's going on with Harvey Weinstein. I mean, we talk about, and we know the importance of speaking out and having giving victims a voice and support and protection, not only protection of the criminal laws, the civil laws, but of society in general, of all the people that will see those kids, in the teachers, the emergency room, the pediatrician, all the people that touched their lives. But that's the, you know, secondary ring of protection in our country. And it's so important that whatever the practice that is deemed child abuse, sexual abuse, sexual assault, that, you know, we'll find all sorts of, and believe me, you know, predators have a wide range of excuses and justification for what they do. This is just another one, and it's one that we have to stand up and say that's not going to be tolerated in our country. And it takes, you know, it takes the voice in the media to really be able to spread the word throughout culture, throughout organizations, women's groups, child advocacy groups that will be, you know, powerful voices on behalf of the victims. Because especially
that's why it's got to be a global phenomenon. When you have 98% of girls in Somalia, 97% of girls in Egypt undergoing this procedure, it kind of makes you wonder when you have Egyptians and Somalians come to the United States, if they're bringing that with them, as it were, for their own families and back and forth. So I want everyone to know that we have been talking to Liz Yore. She is the head of the new initiative, End Female Genital Mutilation Today, or End FGM Today. Please, please, please run on over to her website. Again, it's End E. N-D, and then F as in Frank, G as in George, M as in, you know, mutilationtoday.com, endfgmtoday.com. Learn more about her wonderful work, how you can get involved, and please make sure that you're knowledgeable, that you're aware, and that you pay attention, because when you do that, you may save a young girl's life. You may save more than that. And we really appreciate just, you know, I'm using this podcast as one media forum to get the word out there and to make sure that people are aware, to raise that awareness. Liz, we thank you so much for being on the HER podcast.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Pam. I appreciate your advocacy and passion on this issue.
Oh, and you're welcome, and keep up your fabulous work. And everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of HER. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast and review it, because we read it. And we love your feedback. Just love it. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeakMD, and you can also check out our HER show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.